8:05 at listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, and good morning, Rod Zwanitzer.
Good morning, Buzz. I didn't expect you to talk. I thought you were going to give the weather again.
Nah, I'll just throw it to you now and say, hey, you know, I can see your eyes are open, the lips are moving. We've had a couple of words in here, but now that the cup of coffee between us has gone on, maybe we need to enjoin everybody else into the word.
8:06 in St. Louis, Missouri, USA, 7:05 Mountain Time, 6:06 out on the West Coast. On the right coast, the East Coast, 9:06. Joining us, great friend of KFUO and the Lord Jesus Christ, Pastor Nabil Noor, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Armour, South Dakota. How are you, dear brother?
I am so richly blessed, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, a friend of Jesus Christ. I love it. That is wonderful. You know, we sing that hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and just think, walking with him daily. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, you can't get any better than to be a friend of Jesus, right?
You got that right.
And, you know, we want everybody to be friends with Jesus because Jesus wants to be friends with, he not only wants to be friends, Nabil, he wants to be their Savior.
Amen to that.
And their
that's
Lord.
He is.
Their
and
Lord.
That's why he came, and that's why if you exist, and that's why this program and every other program is entailed so that we can get the gospel out so that people might see.
Amen, amen. The messenger of good news.
The grace of God.
The messenger of good news for over 90 years now, thanks be to God, Nabil. And we would love, wouldn't we, to have some other friends of Jesus or even interested people that might be listening around the globe call us and talk about this Jesus that we're going to discuss from his word. They can do that by calling 314-821-0850 or 800-730-2727, or they can even email us. Isn't that something? They can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. So let's ask you this. You're a vice president of our beloved Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and you're a pastor, and I hear you're also... when are you getting ready to do your annual journey over to the Holy Land and tour? Is that coming up again?
Yes, it will be October the 12th of this year.
Oh, gosh. And how long have you been doing that, Nabil?
This will be my 18th tour. You want to go along with me, Rod?
I would love to, but I think I'm ocupado right then.
Oh, yeah,
so.
You bet.
Yeah.
That's the excuse. But that's all right. The Lord goes with me, and that's the key element of everything that you and I do.
You know, I think I've been to the Holy Land all the time in his word. You know, I've never seen it with my own eyes. I've seen, you know, video and heard people that have went over there and was so blessed. And then just hearing you, my good friend in Christ, it comes alive to me. So
I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to really prayerfully consider that because, A, you get to go to my home. That's
ooh,
number one.
Apart that would be worth it right there.
I give you the custom. I give you the culture.
Wow.
I give you a taste and flavor of the Middle East like you've never had. What I do is I take the scripture that you talked about and travel from the valleys to the mountains, from the rivers to the oceans, and there I will show you in color, video, what you look at in the scripture and bring it alive because every single word in that book is vibrant, is alive and moving, and it changes hearts. And it changes lives. And I will tell you this, St. Rod, that those who have gone with me will call me from time to time, will drop me a line, and will say, you know, now I read the scripture in a different light.
That's...
But we are not here to talk about my trip.
Well, how before we leave that, because we aren't here to talk about your trip for this time, all of it, but how would they get a hold and find out more info about this if they desire?
They can do it one of two ways. They can call me at 605-724-2489. That's my office number. Or my cell number, 605-201-6998. Or they can email me at Nabil S. Noor@hotmail.com, and we will provide that for the listeners afterwards.
Do you have anything on this trip out on the congregation's website, Nabil?
Not yet.
I just
finalized it this week, and of course, you know, I am a busy man. I'm not like some of the guys in the radio station over there. No, I'm just joking.
I try to whip them up to
really
to
hectic for yeah. me as a pastor and without a secretary to try to do two bulletins and two sermons and Bible studies and confirmation prep and hospital visits, which I love. I'm not complaining, but it's just time consuming. And then, of course, being a father and grandfather and a husband, but above all, a foot washer in the ministry of the gospel. So time is short, to say the least.
I'm getting
finalized it this week. So today actually is on my schedule to put it all together. So I have my brochures. I'll put it on my website and the like. So it will be coming up, God willing, by the end of the day.
Well, listen, why don't you email me that website address, and I'll put a link on the archive of this Bible study.
We will certainly do that. Thanks,
okay.
Saint Rod. Appreciate it. Now, I told Jenny, since this was a short notice, I have to apologize for our listeners. I am not as well prepared as I normally would be because I only got the message about 2:30 yesterday afternoon. And, of course, I had confirmation, and then I had the privilege of sharing the blessed word of God with my saints, the Numbers of Hope, number 70. That's what I preached on yesterday. And so I really did not have very much time to prepare. But I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Well, you know, with you at the Bible study helm here, I would say that we even eat the crumbs from your scholarly and experienced take on the scripture, which is
so kind.
Well, let's do this thing, shall we?
Yes, please.
We are in Mark chapter 7. Before we get into it, can you just in a real quick maybe 30 seconds tell us the emphasis of Mark's gospel and how this text from Mark 7 fits into that overall emphasis of Mark's gospel?
I think we should go to the throne of grace and prayer of all.
Would you please?
So let's do that even with more than 30 seconds. Let us pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, precious Savior, as I'm sitting in my office and seeing the sun shining on my face, I think of the sun, S-O-N, who shines upon my darkened heart. Remove every cobweb, every crud, everything that may get in the way. Use me in spite of me. Let these words, O Lord, be the living hope, and so that all who listen may truly know you as the friend of sinners. Not only a friend, but a savior who would spill every drop of crimson blood on Calvary's cross, defeat the devil and all his cohorts, removes the pain and punishment of sin and death from us, and grant us life eternal. It is in his name and for his sake that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so
going back to your question, if you can think of St. Mark's gospel, St. Mark really exemplifies and amplifies the humanity of Jesus. We see so many magnificent moves that highlight the messianic prophecies, the fulfillment of all of these things, specifically as we talk about Mark 7. But what you see in Mark is the humanity of Jesus. He has compassion. He looks out at people and he is weeping. He's crying because he knows the pain. He knows the torture. He knows the agony of going through life without him. As I prayed a moment ago, I said the sun is shining upon my face right now. It literally is because my window is facing the east, and so the sun is coming on my face. It's glowing, okay? I'm not angelic by any means, but it's glowing. But what I want to show the people, that this Savior that we're talking about is the one who cares about them. And you see this in our discussion this morning as we talk about it in Mark chapter 7. These are marvelous words.
They certainly are. So let's listen to those. Mark 7, beginning at verse 24. And from there, Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house, did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter, and he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Pastor, what should we take away from this amazing event? Jesus, telling her he's not going to cast the demon out, and she protests, her request is granted.
You know, sometimes it's hard for us to put into words the thoughts of Jesus, because the Apostle Paul in Romans says, "Who has known the mind of God?" We don't know why at times he uses these specific terms. But what you do see, Saint, is this lady who has witnessed and had heard about this Messiah who has come to the Galilee area. She's probably about 25 to 30 miles from my hometown of Nazareth. She's in Sidon and Tyre. She's on the north part. Okay, so travel news had traveled. And what you see here is she's only begging for one drop of mercy. She's not asking for much, just one drop that would fill her heart with the ocean of love. It seems at first that Jesus is really turning away from her. But you have to remember that Jesus was sent first and foremost to the house of Israel. That is not to say that he is not fulfilling the promise of Genesis 12, that he will be a blessing for all the nations. But first and foremost, he was to call what they call in Hebrew, segula. That's what the word used by God for his people, chosen people, and that's translated into English as his treasured possession. So first and foremost, Jesus had a mission to reach out to the Jews. But so, that does not exclude the Gentiles, which is, she is Greek. She just happened to be born inside of Phoenicia. But the message that we want to get, Jesus is not turning his nose away from her. This is a teaching opportunity to share with her the grace of God that's given first and foremost to the Jews, because that's where the line of the Savior would come. And secondly, even the crumbs, mind you, are more than sufficient to be a blessing to us.
Here in this seventh chapter of Mark, the Pharisees and the scribes continue to kind of pressure Jesus to try to trick him, to get him in trouble. And it's about their ideas of what's important as people of God. Traditions, commandments, we have ceremonial washing, they challenge him on, and he kind of exposes them. And then that's followed up here by this Gentile, the Syrophoenician, asking the Lord to cast out the demon. It's amazing, is it not? And is it significant, Pastor, that this Syrophoenician, as opposed to these Pharisees and scribes, she knows Jesus' power over demons. Maybe she's heard it. Maybe she just believes this man has it in him, and she begs him to do it. She knows he can do it. Is that significant?
Absolutely. What did I say earlier? I said Jesus came to whom? The Jewish people. These were the Pharisees. Who are they? These are the elite scholars of the day. Okay? They should have known what the prophet Isaiah had said about them. And let me read a portion of this, okay? This is from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 and following. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, and notice these words, a light for whom? For the nations. And then what, here's the messianic prophecies. To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name, my glory I give to no other. The Pharisees were questioning the authority and the glory of God. Whether it's in Mark or in John, where they picked up stone to destroy him or kill him, they have constantly tried to bicker. What they forgot is they were the segula, God's treasured possession. What they forgot is they were to be the light to the nations. What they forgot is to show mercy, as Micah tells us. What they forgot is to show compassion on those who are needed. What they did, they elevated themselves to be the scholars of the day, but literally the ones who ruled by force, because they wanted to be in authority rather than being a humble servant in the kingdom of God. They took the authority that belonged to God and they made it into manner by which they want to rule. All of these traditions, everything that was there to surpass what the word of God. And so they challenge him. And you, what you see here, here is this Gentile, a daughter of Ham, coming and begging for one drop of mercy. And that one drop, dear brother, becomes an ocean of grace upon grace.
Wonderful words there, Nabil, of what's going on here. This Jesus response of calling her a dog, and then she picks up on that. What's going on there? Why did our Lord say, I'm not going to throw this to the dogs?
Right. In the Middle East, at least, dogs are not permitted in the houses, although things are changing now, but you would never put a dog in a house. In America, my gosh, everybody has a dog, and they train. They keep talking about them as family. They're not your family, okay? I don't hate dogs, so don't start emailing me about all of those things. They're not your family. Your family is your flesh and blood, those who are saved by the grace of God. But to be put in that terminology as far as a dog is concerned, that's lower than what you have the right to be. The message that was sent out from Jesus is he was sent to the household of Israel. But that does not stop him from reaching out. Why he used the term, again, as I said earlier, I did not have enough time to properly prepare. But from my cultural background, that is a no-no. To be compared to a dog, meaning you are worthless. So she is worthless, yet Christ does not shut her out. He still provides her what she needs.
Kind of picking up on what the psalmist said, you know, who am I as a human being that you should even have any concern for me, Lord? And so with kind of this insult of calling her in the category of a dog, Her trust and faith in this Jesus is profound, that she uses that to her benefit, crying out, as you say, for this drop of mercy, which turns into an ocean for her and her daughter. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.
Isn't that a wonderful image?
Yeah, yeah. And they and they get eternal life, you're saying. Just the little crumbs, you get eternal life. From a mustard seed grows a tree so big that all the birds of the air can rest on it.
You know, what you did earlier, St. Rod, is that you quoted Psalm 8, which is, of course, David, the psalmist, and he says, "Who am I that you would even consider me? I'm nothing but a worm," you know. And the other question we have to ask, who are we? Are we really worthy of the grace of God? A lot of people, you know, greet me and say, "Well, how are you?" And I always, almost always respond, "Better than I deserve," okay? And it's amazing how they look at me. "Well, Pastor, you deserve a lot more." I says, "Really? Do I deserve the grace of God?
Mm.
Do I deserve his forgiveness? I'm a scum."
Yeah. You know, I love that in the confession, Nabil. "I, a poor, miserable sinner, what I deserve is your temporal and eternal punishment,"
that's right,
if you're going to look at me. But no, look at this worm, Jesus, who you punished on my behalf. He fulfilled everything and then took the punishment for my offense. That's the one that I want you to look at for me, because I trust in this guy. And this this back and forth about the dogs and the crumbs, this allows the demon to be cast out, and she goes home and finds it exactly as the Lord said it shall be.
Now, let me just highlight something. We compared the Pharisees, who are the segula, God's treasured possession, right? They should have known that they are not worthy of the grace of God. Yet they elevated themselves above it and said, "Yes, we are worthy because look at me. I'm doing all of these things." All of the stuff, the superficial stuff on the outside, that's what they were doing. And look at this humble woman who literally acknowledges she is a dog in his sight. She says, "Yes, Lord, even a dog can get something out of the master's hand." This is a beautiful confession of a woman on her knees saying, "I am not worthy, but because I believe you are the sent Messiah, because I know you are the one who has compassion, just give me. I'm not asking for much. Just give me one drop of mercy, and I would be content."
Just say the word, Jesus, and I know it's going to be so. And he does that. "For this statement, you may go your way." Martin Fronsman had a great sermon on this that went home with just, I think it was another incident where, but similar to this, where the person left with just a word in their pocket. The word that, okay, your request has been granted. Your daughter has had the demon cast out. And isn't that for all of us, Nabil? Is the Lord says it, and we walk away with exactly what the word delivers.
The word has power. Isaiah 55, "My word will never come back to me empty. Like the snow and the rain that comes down and waters the earth, so does my word. It will accomplish," I love the Hebrew in here, "the purpose for which I sent it." Mm. It will never come back empty. Here's the other thing I wanted to highlight. I read the readings for this in three different languages this morning. And in my mother tongue, in Arabic, you know, you read in verse 26, she's asking him to remove the demon. In my language, in my Bible, it says the devil.
Mm.
So I went to the Greek, and of course it's daimonion, which is, of course, you can be translated demon, but who are the demons? They are the cohorts of the devil.
Yeah, they're fallen angels, aren't they?
Fallen angels.
Yep.
So really, it is the devil. And then what did Jesus, this master servant, the humble servant, teach us in the Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from what? From the evil one. We beg for mercy, even in the Lord's Prayer, that marvelous prayer. That woman is teaching us so much more than the Pharisees ever did. With that request, she says, "You know, Lord, I have no right. I can't. I shouldn't. But I trust you. Will you lower yourself enough to rub the head of a dog and give one crumb that will satisfy the heart And Jesus looks at her and says, because this is what you have said, go, your daughter is well. And of course, look at all of the other miracles that Jesus did. These are messianic. All of these are majestic. All of them are marvelous miracles that reveal to us the beauty and the grace of God. This is what you have right here.
Amen. And one of those expected miracles of the Messiah is healing the deaf, which is in the next verses. We're going to take a break and come back and finish up Mark chapter 7 with Pastor Nabil Noor here on His Time. Stick with us, please.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We are excited to walk alongside Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and ministries as they witness and perform works of mercy and compassion around the world. Investments with LCEF provide the exceptional financial resources used daily to build faith communities and serve God's people. Our loans and ministry support services are available to LCMS congregations, schools, and organizations, as well as rostered church workers. Visit LCEF today.
On Law and Gospel, Mondays are the day when we look at readings for the following Sunday. Tuesday and Thursday are Ruminations Day when we bring in a pastor to help us discuss an issue. Wednesday is an Insight Day where we take a look at a theological insight. And Friday is Open Mic Friday. Please join us.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Jesus once said to the panicking disciples during the Sea of Galilee storm, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. The words of Jesus do have a calming effect upon you and me. After all, they come from the God-man of Calvary. I invite you to join me for some soothing words and music on Moments of Assurance this Sunday at 9:15 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Thanks for sticking with us here on His Time, because we are into the Word of God. We are being blessed as dogs, as a people that do not deserve to have what the Lord's Word delivers: grace, forgiveness, eternal life. And we're doing that with Pastor Nabil Noor from Redeemer Lutheran Church, Armour, South Dakota. Finishing up Mark chapter 7, we're going to pick it up at verse 31 to the end of the chapter. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Nabil, I had the pleasure of being asked to help start a deaf mission society. A missionary came back from China who had worked with 300 deaf kids in China and still does to this day. And he needed a mission society to support that and the work here in the States. And so I did that. And guess what we called it? Ephatha Lutheran Mission Society. And constantly people would ask us, and we put that name down so people would say, "Ephatha?
What is that?"
And as Buzz was saying, you look at it and it you can hardly get it out. It's kind of like Zwanitzer, you know? But it's such a beautiful word, is it not?
Yes, it is. It is a word, Hebrew or Aramaic, meaning to be opened. And you remember when we started in the earlier segment, what I read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42. These are the fulfillment, okay, that the Messiah was going to do. "I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nation. What for? To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. When you look at this magnificent portion of Scripture, breathed by the Holy Spirit into St. Mark, penned so many years ago for our benefit, what's the purpose? Again, it shows that this Messiah is no lunatic, he's not a liar, but he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. His message is true. His ministry is absolutely beautiful, and he is the long-expected Messiah. That when he touches you, whether it's any part of your body that are deformed, or whether it's your heart that is broken, he brings healing. Apart from Jesus, there is no life, there is no salvation. I have been working on the sermon series that I developed with a very, very dear friend of mine, Peter Karowski.
Oh, St. Peter, isn't he a marvelous man of God?
He is a jewel and a gem for our church body.
Amen, amen.
Way. But he and I have just had a marvelous, wonderful time, working together on this Numbers of Hope. And the line we have used in the last three sermons, he and I together, starting in Ash Wednesday, we preached on number 40, then we preached on number 12, yesterday was number 7. But in every sermon that we have preached, and in the remaining 6 that we will preach, we will have this statement. We are so thankful that you came to the house of hope to meet the messenger of hope, Jesus, who is the help to the helpless, the hope to the hopeless, and give heaven to the heavenless. What you are reading in St. Mark is an image of this Messiah who's touching people, not only on the outside to be able to hear and to see and to even get the devil out of their body, but on the inside, so that their hearts may follow and worship him as only God should be worshipped.
And you reference this several times, Nabil, that and Jesus does too. I believe when the followers of John the Baptist, come to our Lord and ask him, "Are you the Messiah?" He says, "Go and tell him that I've been doing this stuff from Isaiah that you've been sharing with us. I've been opening the eyes of the blind, opening the ears of the deaf. I've been preaching the gospel to the poor." We know that this is the Savior, and what he wants to do is speak this ephatha to our ears that don't like to hear about the true God, that we don't like to hear about our sin problem, and for sure we don't like to hear about the solution to our sin problem by some guy getting killed on a cross. And so it's only, isn't it, Nabil, when God opens our ears and lets that beautiful, I like your description of it, a drop of mercy that comes into a cleansing eternal ocean.
Right on the money. And, the devil, of course, works overtime to dissuade us from following Jesus. He will do anything to impress upon us that it all depends on me.
Yeah, to get us away from the real good news, the real gospel, right?
And you see, the message that you have in St. Mark is what you have in the beginning of St. John also. The kingdom has arrived. The time is now. All of these miracles that were performed by Jesus, these and all of the others, they had one message for the people of his day and the same message for us of this day. It is this: the kingdom has come near our hearts in the person of Jesus Christ. And we are not, by we, all of us, humanity speaking, do not think that somebody should earn our salvation. That's the human frailty with us. We think we ought to let God know how good we are. And we often think, God should be so lucky to have me on his team. I am the one who is helping God with all of these things. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. But God says, no, I will not give my glory to other. You and I cannot earn our salvation. You and I are simply poor beggars.
You know, the one that I really turn to, it keeps striking me as so remarkable, is when our Lord says two guys were up on a housetop praying, and one of them was looking at the other guy saying, oh, Lord, I thank you that you made me such a wonderful Christian, and I'm such an honorable man, and I'm such a proud community guy, and I've worked my entire life for you, and I thank you didn't make me like this slob over here, who he looked at him, and that guy wouldn't even lift his head to heaven, but pounded his chest and said, have mercy upon me, a poor, miserable sinner. And Jesus says, only one of those two dudes walked away with their sins forgiven. There we go, isn't it?
Amen. I believe it's Luke 18.
I think you're right.
That's what you shared with. And you know, isn't it amazing, dear brother, when we study the scriptures, whether it's Mark or Luke or John, what we see is what? We see humanity touched with the finger of God. We see a waterfall of mercy coming upon us. We see grace upon grace being poured out. Whether it's the story of the woman who asked for the devil to be removed from her daughter, whether the deaf man who hears, whether it's the leper that was cleansed, or the crippled man who jumps, or even Jairus' daughter who was dead. All of these shows the compassion of Christ, the friend of sinner, who lowered himself to the point of coming to the earth and taking upon him human flesh and blood to give us life and salvation. Now that is a king I would gladly bow before, worship, and serve until my dying day.
Amen. That's so rich, and that's why you and I and everyone joined together to try to share with everyone in the world that will listen. And we pray that their ears would be have that ephatha upon them, that they would be open to this truth. You know, I came to the conclusion, it took me a while, but I love a crucifix. That means a Jesus on a cross, because every time I look at it, I say, an amazing amount of love for me. That's how he loved me. And he loved everybody, the deaf, the blind, the human being in the womb of their mother, the older person lying on their deathbed that some people would cast away so fast. He loved all of that, didn't he? The Syrophoenician woman who the Jewish people thought were enemies, unclean people, and on it goes. This Jesus is the universal king and savior, isn't he, Nabil?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, you brought a tear to my eyes as you were talking about the crucifix. I'm holding in my hand right now a small gold cross with a gold crucifix. I left the country of Israel when I was only 16. And before I left, my sainted mother now put this around me. And she said, may Jesus protect you and guide you, and that he might use you. And I never dreamt in my life that the gracious Father would use me in a way that he has. As you brought that up, I got it out of my chest, and I'm just holding it right now, looking at that. My mother is a wise woman.
Amen, amen. And you know, I remember this poignant scene, Nabil, in the last Martin Luther movie, where, you know, Luther just can't come to grips with pleasing God. He thought Jesus was this vicious, mean-spirited judge who never liked, you know, Luther, because he couldn't do everything that he was told by these Pharisees of his time he should be doing. And his precious father, confessor, Stoppitz, takes a crucifix, puts it in his hand, and closes Luther's fingers around and says, cling to this, dear brother. And that's what we cling to. That's why this crucifix is so special to us. We don't don't worship it, because it tells us this is the God who hung there on the Good Friday for us and for all people. And you're sharing something really special with us and personal, Nabil, that's the great privilege that not only we pastors and missionaries have to share, but all the dear people of God can share that good news.
That is the absolute truth. And you know, the beauty, as you talked about, of the crucifix, you know, I've baptized six of my grandchildren. Well, that's what I have on earth. Two live in heaven. And every single one of them got a cross from me as a gift, just because my mother did that in the old country.
What a great tradition. Maybe those grandkids will give one to their kids and grandkids.
Whatever I have taught them, I said, I hope you pass that on to your kids. Because all my children are devoted Christian. They are followers of Jesus. They worship. Actually, one of my sons is an elder at another congregation close to me. But my point is this. As you said, dear brother, we do not worship the crucifix. We only worship the man who hung on the cross, the one who spilled his blood, the one who endured the punishment, the rejection, the beating, the bloodying, everything that you can name under heaven, worse than what ISIS is doing today. They ripped his body to shreds. They flogged him.
And the worst thing is, he's the one that never deserved any of that.
Right. He is without sin.
And he didn't protest. Let's close with this, Nabil. At the end of this text, it says, Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. What does this mean for you and for me and for all these Christians listening to us around the world today?
Well, number one, you know, Jesus told them at that time not to say anything, only because the time was not right. It isn't that he didn't want them to announce to the world. He had a plan, and the plan needed to be carried out as the master plan to reveal his story of salvation. And so when he said that, and you read that in John, for example, from chapter 1 through chapter 12, his time has not arrived, his time has not arrived, his time has not arrived. When we get to chapter 12, all of a sudden, oh, the time is now. And this is what you have right here. But the end statement is, he has done everything well. Show me anything in the scripture that is not done well, that exemplify the humility of Jesus, and the kindness of Jesus, and the mercy of Jesus. You see that. What you have right here is a beautiful picture of who this Savior is. Yesterday, I posted something on Facebook, the distinction between Muhammad and Jesus. And I put in one specific point, and I have maybe 15 to 17 different points, Jesus is loving. Muhammad loves himself. That sums it up. Jesus loved the world like his Father, for God so loved the cosmos, you and I and every single one, that he would gladly offer his drops of blood for you and for me, so that we might have life and have its salvation. And now that's a God we are privileged and blessed to share with the saints around us, so that they too may know him, and as we began, so we shall end. They might see him as the friend who wants to be their Savior and Lord and grant them eternal comfort and peace in heaven with him.
What a great way to stop. Pastor Nabil Nuer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Armour, South Dakota, what a joy, what a privilege to share God's word with you today. When are we going to see you in the flesh here in the studios in St. Louis, Nabil? When are you going to be down here at the International Center
April,
again?
When April? I come down. Okay. So hopefully, I think April 28, 29, 30, something like that.
Okay.
But I told your secretary that, Jenny, this is going to cost you, because as you know, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this. So I said, you tell Rod, I expect something from this. I was only kidding, of course.
No, but... No. I would be honored to buy you a meal. That would be the highlight.
Get there, but...
That would be the highlight of my month, Nabil. Let's do it.
You are so kind.
Let's
Thank
do
you
it.
So much.
Thank you so much. And blessings to you as you continue to proclaim this Ephatha to the world. And thank you so much for being such a fine guest today. And I will do whatever you would like. You will honor me with some time, whatever it takes. I'd love to hang out with you.
Even a cup of coffee in the cafeteria will be just fine, dear brother.
Okay.
Let's together... The joy that we have is to dine that this lady did on the crumbs that Jesus gives to us.
Amen. Amen. So, eat them up and rejoice and proclaim his name throughout South Dakota and the world, Nabil.
Thank you, dear brother. God's peace. Take care.
God's peace to you. Thank you for listening here to His Time and morning prayer coming up next after these breaks and some sacred music here on Worldwide KFUO.